Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. When it comes to educating and caring for our children during the pandemic, parents have struggled mightily. But even more so when those parents have children with special needs. April is National Autism Awareness Month, and we are taking a look at this issue and offering resources tonight. My guest is Dr. James Jackson, Associate Professor of Special Education at the Howard University School of Education. If you have comments, if you have questions, if you are looking for resources as you are raising a child on the autism spectrum, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You're welcome to tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Jackson, thank you so much for joining the conversation. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Well, let me start with something really simple, but so important. What have parents been going through for the past year or so as they try to care for and educate their child on the autism spectrum?
I would think that many parents are feeling a bit stressed and overwhelmed because they have become teachers or teacher assistants, and they have to contend with their children all day long in many aspects or many ways. And so I think they're a bit overwhelmed at this point.
What kind of challenges, more specifically, do they face when you're talking about a child on the spectrum? And for, you know, for purposes of those who may not fully be familiar with autism, can you give me a working definition of exactly what it is?
The working definition comes from the legislation, the Individual Disabilities Education Act, that was again ratified again in 2004. And it basically says that a child who has autism or who is on the autism spectrum disorder is a child with a developmental disability that affects communication and social interaction that is generally seen before the child turns three. These communication and social interaction issues tend to affect the child's academic performance.
And so as we look at some of the difficulties and some of the challenges that parents have faced during the pandemic, talk to me a little bit about what that's been like for them.
Well, I suppose that it's, as I said earlier, I suppose that it's been a bit overwhelming, because when a parent who does not have experience in education or teaching, all of a sudden has to sort of balance work responsibilities, home responsibilities, and then try to keep their children engaged in terms of teaching and connecting with the teachers that these children have, it becomes a little bit much. And so it becomes a stressful event for many of them. And when you think about the lack of resources that many of these parents have, particularly those parents in underserved neighborhoods, there's a multiplicity of issues that surface. And so you're more than likely to find parents who are, you know, have lost their jobs, which means there's an economic issue. Some parents may have lost housing. And so the list of issues that these parents experience are just, you know, it's sometimes insurmountable. And so I think, you know, there's a plethora of kinds of issues that these parents have had to contend with, not only to try to provide education for their students in a virtual setting, but they have these everyday issues that they have to deal with. And those things become a little bit much, and I think probably lead to a lot of stress in a lot of parents.
Yeah, so that sounds like the case, and I can only imagine, you know, how they are trying to, you know, address this, particularly when, you know, parents who don't have children with special needs have struggled during the course of the pandemic with distance learning and issues with internet connections, and even the best students still struggling to pay attention through Zoom learning. So I would imagine that children on the autism spectrum would have particularly difficult challenges. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we are talking about caring for and educating children in the midst of the pandemic. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. Let's go to Rob. Rob calling from Northeast D.C. Rob, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. I was calling about the comment on the autism spectrum. I do have a 10-year-old who's going through it real hard, living Northeast. And before the pandemic, everything was fine with him always active, always keeping him into programs and things on the weekend, sports and things like that, and other things, and school and speech and OT and ABA. And now, since pandemic, they just cut everything for these autistic kids, and learning on Zoom and Google is not working for my child. For some, it may, but I know for mine, it isn't, and he's only on for 30 minutes, and yet, even for that time, it's a problem for him. And he sees his younger brother goes to school, but yet, and getting on the bus, but yet he's still at home, year later, still with me, still going through it. I'm a speech, I'm OT, I got the ABA, I got to be all these things, and a teacher. It's like real, real hard and so much on me, and trying to work and do this and go to Thor, and it's just a whole bunch. And with him every day with me all day, it's just too much for him, and he sees that he's not getting what he needs, and taking him to the playground and things and trying to find things that's open for him, it's not working.
Rob, help me with this, because not all of our listeners and even myself are familiar with some of the acronyms that you've used. OT, AJ, what is that?
Well, OT, well, occupational therapy, and okay. ABA, applied behavioral analysis. Those are the things to help with movements, to know what your cognitive is, your walk, your talk, your thinking, you know, how to get by, you know, your daily living and things like that, dressing yourself, things like that that I have to conduct and do and stuff that they was teaching me, but yet he was getting more of it with them and learning things with them and stuff like that. And the OT for the jumping and getting the hyperness out and things like that. All that is gone. And the speech and having speech online is not working. And having it in person when he did was better than having it now. It's just all online. He's not wanting to do it online.
Dr. Jackson, any suggestion for Roz? Because I'm sure that as difficult as her situation is, it is not unusual. A lot of parents are probably dealing with that same thing.
I would agree. And so my response to all of that would be to think about some alternative ways to sort of get those needs met. For example, she talked about OT, occupational therapy. What is it that she can do in the home that will allow him to sort of maintain some of those skills or relearn some of those skills that he picked up at school? For example, could she employ him in the housework that she does as a way of trying to get him to sort of enhance some of those skills that he's learning through occupational therapy?
And see, that's where it falls, because he does not. I try to do that, help with trash, help with this. I have a crash pad. I have things for him to be able to jump and to get things out and stuff like that. But yet, it's not there where I can have assistance in a home and stuff. None of that is there anymore.
Was he under the D.C. public school system?
Yes, he is.
And had you had an opportunity to reach out to them? And if so, what was their response?
I've reached out several times. I'm with an organization, PAVE, Parents Amplifying Voices in Education. So I've dealt with plenty of times with the council members and things like that, doing with testimonies. And it came out with some results where they try to have actual ABA people there, but it didn't last for long. It was for maybe 6 months and things like that. And then now they don't have it in place and things, and it's not in its IEP. And I'm wondering, well, what happened if we had this big meeting and had all this, had things done with the mayor and things with the council members and all these testimonies, but yet now it's not in play when we go to the new school. Now they have to try to find ABA. Now they have to try to do this. Now they have to try to put this back in place into this IEP, which I thought it was, and it was. Now it's not. No, it's so, just so much.
Mr. Fisher, am I understanding her correctly when she said that none of this was in his IEP?
No.
And no, quickly, Dr. Jackson, and you know, Roz, I hate to cut you off. We've got a lot of parents who are trying to reach us, but we also have some resources that we're going to share, and so I invite you to continue to listen. Dr. Jackson, if you have something quickly that you can share with Roz before we let her go, and I take another phone call.
Well, I would think that she would start with trying to make sure that his IEP is appropriate. That's the first thing. Because it appears that it's not appropriate. And I think if she could contact DCPS to sort of get a reevaluation, that might be something that she'd want to do.
Okay. Ross, thank you so much. You know, and our, you know, our prayers, you know, go out to you as you, you know, struggle to care for your child. And as I said, we are going to have some resources to share during the course of this program. But thank you so much. Let me go to V, calling from Virginia. VV, I believe that is, calling from Virginia. VV, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mr. Fisher.
Hi.
My son is Donovan Davis, and he was actually a guest on your show a couple of years ago with
okay.
Dr. Martine Ellie, and I thank you for the opportunity that he was a guest there. But what I wanted to comment on, it is really tough in a pandemic trying to deal with the occupational therapy, the physical therapy, the speech therapy, and my son also took music therapy. And he's still a student at Howard, and because of Howard University Speech and Hearing Clinic, he is doing extremely better than they thought that he was going to be doing. They said he would never talk, and Howard was there, and, you know, they really got him to the point where he's talking, and he's doing better than they expected. So I want to thank Howard University Speech and Hearing Clinic for that. Donovan has been going there for the last 7 years.
Yes, I do remember him now.
Yes.
With Dr. Martine Ellie. My question, you know, for you quickly is, how has he fared during the pandemic?
Donovan didn't fare as well, and like they were saying, I've been listening to the conversations of the other parents. They had problems with the internet connections. That was one, and then his, you know, his attention span would go away. You know, you're trying to get back on the system, and it keeps kicking off. So, but what we've been doing, what I've been doing, and my husband has taken a lot of time because he got laid off during the pandemic, and we've been taking Donovan for long walks. We let him ride the bike. They said he would never ride the bike, but thanks to Howard, he's doing a lot of things that he wasn't supposed to do. His dad lets him do yard work with him. So we've been trying to, you know, embrace things that he can do outside and with us to get him engaged in other things. He is like gardening. So what we did, we took him we went to South Carolina to family. We are from South Carolina originally.
And I hate to cut you short. We have so many parents that are trying to get through, but I need to make sure that Dr. Jackson can get some of these resources out. But I appreciate, you know, your sharing with us, and I think that what you have shared with us, particularly as it related to, you know, the gardening and some of the other things, may be very helpful to parents. So, you know, thank you so much, Vivi, for giving us a call. I appreciate it. Before I take a break, Dr. Jackson, can you put some resources out there, a website or any information that we can share with our listeners who are dealing with this particular issue right now?
Absolutely. There are a couple of websites that I think would be beneficial to the parents. One of them would be autismspeak.org. That is an organization that is there to provide support to parents and or students with autism. Another organization would be the Color of Autism Foundation, which is another advocacy and group for parents of color who have children with autism. And then there's Autism Society, which is another organization that allows for support of parents and students with autism. And all of these organizations offer tips for parents in order to help their kids develop and move forward. There's also another organization called readingrockets.org, which is a parent-friendly, teacher-friendly website that offers lots of strategies and techniques and tips to help advance the cause of students with autism.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And we'll go over those again after the break. So please stay with us. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the challenges of parenting a child with autism during the pandemic. Lines are still open. Stay with us. We're going to take a very short break. We want to let you know that the original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR, but this conversation continues on Sirius XM, Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are taking a look at the challenges of parenting a child with autism during the pandemic. My guests are Dr. James Jackson, Associate Professor of Special Education at the Howard University School of Education. Also, join the conversation right now is Dakita Brown. She is an advocate, and she is also the founder of Walk One Day in Our Shoes. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dakita, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Talk to me about how things have been for you and your daughter. I mean, you're an advocate. You are active, you're a boots on the ground kind of person as it relates to this, you know, particular issue, but you are still a parent first. And so what's it been like?
Absolutely. I am still, aside from being a parent, I still have a full-time job that I'm doing from home. So as many of the other callers have said, when it comes to my daughter, she's in ninth grade. She has to sit right next to me during the day, during the school day, and I physically help her tend to school while my middle schooler is upstairs in her bedroom doing school on her own. So just like the other parents said, with the many hats, we're the teachers, the PE teachers, the occupational therapists, speech pathologists, all of these things in one. And it is definitely a juggling act. There's a lot of guilt there because at some point, a ball from work is going to fall or a ball from your child is going to fall. So it's been extremely stressful for this entire year. It has been extremely stressful.
Tell me about your daughter. You call her Sneak.
I do.
Why Sneak? I'm afraid to ask.
No, you know, I'm about to make it make sense for you. So I blog about raising a black child, a black female in this country with autism, and the name of my blog and organization is Walk One Day in Our Shoes. So out of respect for her privacy, everyone has a shoe name. So I'm Mama Pump, and she's Sneak, and my youngest daughter is Tap. So that's where the name Sneak came from. So it's all a theme about the shoes.
Okay. I'm glad to see that with all of the challenges and the stresses that you were able to keep your sense of humor.
I mean, we have to laugh. Listen, Harold, it is, if I'm not laughing, I'm crying.
Yeah.
So, we have to have that mix in there.
Absolutely. Well, talk to me about Sneak and her autism.
So what she has is called non-speaking, it's called nonverbal autism, but she, I like the term non-speaking because it's not that she is nonverbal. I mean, she's able to verbally express from her mouth, but she is not able to hold a conversation. She understands, so her receptive language is 100%. If you say something to her, anything around her, she totally understands you. But her expressive language, which is what she's able to output, she does not have that. So she has different means of expressing herself. Now, when it comes to Sneak, when it comes to her autism, she also has sensory processing disorder, which means that sounds, touch, taste, all of the senses that we experience at a regular level, she experiences it times 1,000. So that can trigger meltdowns and things like that. But her autism really does, because of it, it requires her to have 24/7 care. She has no fear of danger. And so for that, she's always has to have someone with her at all times.
Explain that, if you can.
Sure.
You said no fear of danger. What do you mean by
yeah.
that?
She has no sense of danger. So, for instance, if we were to walk out into a parking lot, if she's excited, she's going to go take off running. She's not going to look for a car. If someone were to approach her and say, hey, wouldn't come and get in my car? I got some candy in there for you. She may not be interested in the candy, but she also wouldn't know to run or scream or fight. Mm. So she loves water, but she can't swim. A lot of our children unfortunately lose their lives because they end up drowning because they love the water, but they mm-hmm. can't swim. So if she were in front of a pool right now, she would potentially try to dive in the deep end because she loves the water, not understanding that she can't swim to save herself.
You were going to say something, Dr. Jackson.
Well, I'm just saying yes, because in doing the research for this, I really came across some statistics that sort of spoke to the idea that a lot of these children who do have autism end up dying from drowning. Because
mm-hmm.
again, as the guest said, they don't have the sense of fear that most of us tend to have.
Mm.
Yeah.
So they will try things because they don't know how to self-regulate.
I see.
And that's really problematic for a lot of kids with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Dakita, the pandemic has, as you mentioned, created some particularly troubling challenges for parents. Have you been able to, in the midst of it, find resources, ideas to help Sneak that may help other parents who are really struggling?
I absolutely have. And so, 2 weeks in, when the schools had no idea what they were going to do with our children, we didn't even have Chromebooks for them to use. We were told, hold tight, we're working out a plan, and we will get back to you. So I said, okay, we're here. I'm home from work. My daughters are home from school. The things that I never get a chance or have time to work on are called ADLs, or activities of daily living. What those are would be grooming, chores, meal preparation, things that we just don't have time to work on when we're dealing with the hustle and bustle of work and school. So I started working with my daughter in that 2-week period before we knew what was going on with school. And within 2 weeks, because I worked with it daily, nonstop, I got her to brush her teeth by herself. She's dressing herself. She's doing her laundry. And again, these are things that we just didn't have time to do before. So I would encourage any parent listening, just like the Dr. Jackson shared earlier, get those ADLs going, get them working with meal prep, gardening, anything that they, that piques their interest, because school and learning is not just about books. It's not just about what they can do with math and what they can do with writing. Yes. It's about their life skills, because at the end of the day, the life skills is what's really going to carry them through.
Yes.
Well, it sounds to me, and I am, you know, through the many interviews that I have done on this topic, it sounds to me as if SNEAK is not what you would necessarily call high functioning. And is that correct? Am I accurate in that?
You are. When the term high functioning typically would be like an Asperger's or someone mm-hmm. who could tend, you know, can kind of look after themselves, and she is not in that position, no.
So take me back to pre-pandemic education. Because mm-hmm. I think that for our listeners who do not have children, who are, you know, on the autism spectrum, I need to kind of get them a little bit of context. What was the educational process for SNEAK pre-pandemic? What was she doing? What was she learning? How was she learning?
So, well, for one, she looked forward to leaving the house every day. she looked forward to mommy not being her teacher. So she got on a bus. She rode the bus to school. She was in a classroom where everyone in her classroom had autism or special needs. So she maybe had seven other students with her. They had one-on-one aides who helped them throughout the day with their studies. They were able to, they still went to PE and music, and they did all of those lessons that the typical, or we, as we call them, neurotypical, which would be a student who does not have a special need. They did all those lessons, but they were modified for them. But she would go out of class for 30 minutes and have a speech lesson. She would leave class or maybe have a group occupational therapy session. They would go on field trips. They did community, she's in a community-based program. So in the middle of the day, they would go to the grocery store. They would be given money and a list, and they would be responsible for purchasing ingredients for a meal that they would cook in class on that Friday. So this was a part of her school day, and after her school day ended, an aide would pick her up, who was state-funded by the state of Maryland. An aide would pick her up and take her to a different center where everyone there has autism, and they would have activities and play games and have that leisure time. And she would come home at 7 p.m., eat dinner, and go to bed at 9. So that being snatched from her, she loves being outdoors. She loves interacting in the community and being away from home. So when that was pulled from her, and all of a sudden it's, hey, congratulations, not only do you have to do your 9-to-5, but you also have to make sure that she doesn't falter. You know, it's the regression that we're seeing across the board is so challenging. Because everything has been stripped from her.
And when it comes to resources, I know you said in the very beginning that there was just a period, a 2-week period or so, when school systems were saying, "Whoa, no one was ready for this," and we realized mm-hmm. that. But now it's been more than a year. Where was she in school prior to the pandemic?
So she was finishing her middle school year, her last year in middle school when the pandemic hit.
So that was public school?
That was public school. Yeah, she was school setting in Montgomery
which
County.
County?
And Montgomery.
Okay.
And
so how has the county dealt with that since?
There's only so much they can really do. You know, when it comes to most of our children, including mine, she's not a screen child. Doing Zoom school is difficult. It's sometimes we got to kind of press and bribe to get her to sit in front of that laptop. But with these services, they try to become creative and see how they can provide them to the kids. But the fact is, there's really not much that they can do. I think that as far as we're concerned, we still have our IEP meeting, which is an individual education plan. So every child, or most children who are diagnosed with autism or special needs, has this plan. And it's a yearly meeting where you go over the goals and things like that for your child. And so this county, they're still providing this for us, but there's not much that you can do from behind a screen.
Dr. Jackson, it sounds to me, based on what Dakita has shared with us and what the other parents that we've spoken to, it sounds to me that parents with children who are autistic have been kind of on their own and may remain that way until school has reopened and allowing, you know, children with special needs to get the kind of attention that they were getting pre-pandemic. I mean, are parents really just on their own?
Pretty much with supports. Now, it depends on where you are, because in some of the districts, parents have a daily contact with the teachers. And so the teachers serve as a guide as to what parents could be doing at home. But then in other districts, that may not be as prevalent. And so it depends on where you are in terms of the district that you live in. And so I can understand that some parents may be getting lots of resources, other parents may not. And then when you think about those parents who live in under-resourced neighborhoods, they're probably not getting very much. And so they have to, if they're interested in their children, then they have to sort of make sure that they are in contact with the teachers so that the teachers can help provide them with the kind of supports that they can, they need for their children, even though it may be small, but something can happen in the sense that if you're contacting the teachers and having to work with them in order to get suggestions for them in terms of what you can do at home. Because in a lot of instances, in doing some of the research for this, I learned that there are many parents who have transformed their homes into the class or a replica of what the classroom was like that the child left before the pandemic. And so doing things in the home that replicate what happens in school has been something that a lot of parents are doing. Sharing responsibilities. If there are two parents in the home, there's a sharing of the responsibility so that it doesn't fall on one person. So there's a variety of kinds of things that's happening depending on where you are and what district you live in.
Dakita, Prince George's County schools are opening soon, first for special education. What have you heard from Montgomery County schools in reference to education and services for SNEAK?
Well, our county did open back up for our population. They were the first to be offered an opportunity to go back. However, I elected to keep SNEAK at home, and two main reasons. One, and I say this in tongue-in-cheek, you know, I say this jokingly, but kind of serious. The schools, they can't, when it comes to controlling head lice, like schools can't even control head lice. So how can I expect SNEAK to go into a classroom where this virus is live and active and, you know, and there not be any issues? Now, what I mean by that is that's a lot of children in our community who have to keep a mask on, who have to keep their distance. My child does not know personal space. My child is going to be up in everyone's face and doing whatever it is that she wants to because she hasn't seen them in over a year. So because I know my child and I know that this situation is difficult, we're going to wait until next school year. Hopefully she can get her vaccine and we'll go from there. But at the time when it was offered to us, I just was not ready to have her go back into the school building. I do understand that some of her peers have gone back and they are flourishing. They are enjoying it, and more power to them. I just pray for everyone's safety.
Your thoughts about that, Dr. Jackson, what Dakita just shared about going back. I mean, obviously, it is a household-to-household, family-to-family choice. Things are beginning to open up again, but you know, the reality is, even for parents without children with special needs, even for parents and going back to work, and you know, after being at home for more than a year, this has got to be an incredibly difficult decision to make.
It is. And I always defer to the parent in terms of making those decisions, because parents have to be comfortable with where their children are. And if they fear that a child will end up with some kind of virus or something else because the system is not completely ready to receive those kids, then I have to accept that. But what I do want to encourage parents to do, that these children, by their having autism and being in the special education program, they are entitled to have their services maintained. And so I would encourage parents to be in contact with the district about what can they do to make sure that children are getting the services that they need, because it's a law that they have to have them. And so being an advocate for your child is going to be one of the things that I would recommend. And you hold those district officials to account, because they need to find a way to make sure that these children are maintaining the skills and or getting support so that they can at least have some of their needs met that is in the IEP.
You know, Dakita, you said you were going to wait a year. How did you come to that decision when you look at your responsibilities to your job and, you know, to your family and balancing that? It sounds to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you kind of worked it out over the past 14 months. You kind of figured it out.
We have. Thankfully, my job is one that I can do from home. And also, my family, I mean, my husband is essential, so he leaves every day and he comes home every evening. So I don't really have the assistance from him during the day. And again, this is as hard as it is and as surprising as it may seem, like, well, why don't you just send her back to school? The bottom line is, if she were to contract this virus, she cannot tell me how she's feeling. She cannot tell me how her body is feeling inside, that she has a migraine, that she's tired. She's not able to tell me those things. If she were to be transported to a hospital, I may not be able to go with her and be with her. So when I think about that consequence, that is what keeps me in this place and says, you know what, I'm going to wait. We'll wait until the next school year. The school year's over in June, and we'll just stick it out. And we'll hopefully be back in the fall. So that's really what, you know, and like I said in an interview recently, the tape that we've been using since March of last year, we're still using that same tape and it's working. I mean, it's fading, but what we have, the system that we have, it's working for now, so that we're going to stick with it.
I asked Dr. Jackson about this earlier, Dakita, and I'll ask him again, but you know, I'll reach out. I'll ask you what resources you would recommend for parents who feel like they're just, you know, treading water.
So the internet for me has been, even before the pandemic, I mean, in general, the internet has been a saving grace for me, because there are so many resources out there. If you just have to know where to look. Personally, Harold, I, with my organization, we used to present events for the community, for the special needs community. And since we're not able to do that, I've since started doing Instagram lives on Saturday nights on my Instagram page, and I share free resources with parents. We talk about everything. We have a chat. I let people ask questions. I have guests, experts, because people need to know how to manage. This pandemic has really hit a lot of us in different ways, and many of us are struggling. So for people listening, you know, you may not know, well, what do I look for? But the internet, there are Facebook groups, support groups, there you can get in touch with other parents of your students, because someone's got some information or some resources. You can't do it alone. So don't be afraid to reach out, to seek out information, because the information is most certainly out there. You just have to kind of know where to look and ask for it.
Well, let's not keep it a secret. What is that that Instagram resource, your chat on Instagram? Where can people find it? Let's talk about, the times and the like, so that we can get more listening ears from those parents who need the help.
Absolutely. So I'll just say, if you go to my website, everything is on my website, and that is www.walkonedayinourshoes.com. The Instagram is under the same name, and I do Saturday nights at 8 p.m. We have different topics, especially for the month of April. This Saturday, we're talking to siblings of children who have autism and special needs. We're also, next week, we're talking about sexuality, because that's an important topic that people don't really speak about. So you can go to my website and get that information, as well as my Instagram, and just start to build your tribe, build your community, because there are things that the schools can do for you, but for the most part, everything else, you're really going to have to learn and find on your own, and I'm happy to help you with that. My DMs
walk
are always
one day,
open.
It's walkonedayinourshoes.com. Walkonedayinourshoes.com. Is that correct?
That's it.
8 o'clock Instagram Live. I'm sure that has to be fascinating. How long is the program? I can only imagine you may have more people listening than my show.
Well, Harold, it's a large community, and people and things spread, So this past Saturday, I had an actual disability advocate. She's a mom, and she has autism herself, and she uses a device that my own daughter uses. And we talked for an hour, and she shared the do's and don'ts with using the device and how you can really push your child to utilize it. I try to keep these chats at an hour because, people, they want their information and they want to get going, But I'm a talker, and once these parents get on there and start asking questions and whoever my guest is starts asking, we can be on there for up to 2 hours. It really varies. So then this is my public service to the community. I do it because when my daughter was diagnosed at the age of 2, I didn't have resources. I didn't have any of this. So I want to provide this to people who are currently in the position that I was in back then.
When do you think you may go back to having, special events? There's all of this talk in not only Montgomery County where you live, but in Prince George's, mm-hmm. in the district, in Northern Virginia, just across the country, about the stair-step lifting of restrictions, and certainly those kinds of activities would be very helpful.
They will. And as soon as it is safe, as soon as we're not spiking again, I think I would start with an outdoor event. Many of my parents have reached out and said, is there any way you can do something with a smaller crowd? I've been hearing that from them. I'm working on something, but it will be outdoor. It will be a mass event. And it will be as close to what we usually would do, but in the outdoor setting. So, you have to think about weather, and you got to think about a couple other things. But I'm definitely working on something just so folks can kind of get together, and we can just slowly but safely step back into the normalcy that we saw pre-pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Jackson, we mentioned a list of resources earlier in the program. If you don't mind, if you could run through those again, because what I will do, as always, I'll be posting links to those resources on whur.com between 9 and 9:30 tonight.
There are three organizations that I would four organizations that I would recommend that parents check out. One of them will be the Color of Autism Foundation.
The Color of Autism Foundation.
Yes, sir. And if you want, I can send you the website, the web link.
I'll be able to find it, but our listeners, I'm sure they'll be able to pick that up too. And for those who can pick it up while they're listening, they'll know to find it on WHUR.com. But you said the Color of Autism Foundation. Go right ahead.
Color of Autism or Foundation. Then you have Autism Speaks.
Mm-hmm.
You have Autism Society.
Yes.
And you have ReadingRockets.org.
ReadingRockets.org.
Mm-hmm. All of those are, they, and some of the websites will provide videos for the parents and teachers. Some will provide tips. There's a plethora, as the young lady said, there are many resources on the web. And so you just have to type in what it is you're looking for, and something will pop up. But these are four organizations that will allow you to have access to tips and strategies immediately.
Well, I think this is a great place to end this conversation, and I want to thank you, Dr. James Jackson, and of course, Dakita Brown, for the work that you're doing in trying to help parents and, of course, their children move through these really, really difficult times. I salute you, Dakita. I really, really do. Obviously,
I do too.
Mother of the Year. Even if you've given your daughter a really weird day, like you said, you got to keep on laughing, I guess if you have another child, you'll name him Nike.
Hey, Mr. Fisher.
Yes, sir.
Let me suggest to you also. There's a
real quick. I've got 30 seconds. Go right ahead.
15. I have this handout that talks about 15 tips to make the most out of online schooling. If people are interested, they can contact me at jt_jackson@howard.edu.
Let me have that one more time, please.
jt_jackson
mm-hmm.
@howard.edu.
jt_jackson@howard.edu. Thank you so much, Dr. Jackson. Dakita, again, thank you so much for spending some time with us to help others.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is The Daily Drum on this Tuesday, April 6th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.